this is studied in this topic, which is shukur. And we did explain a few things. Actually, I consider that to be an introduction to our discussion we are going to have today regarding this topic. I did give you some of the verses of the Quran, speaking about the ni'mah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being. And I also got to define that day what we mean by ni'mah. I defined what we mean by ni'mah, and I said that ulama have defined ni'mah as meaning that which pleases you. And I said that that definition actually is not inclusive. Why? It excludes the things that we are not pleased with, and those things actually are called ni'mah. Some people, they are not happy with the look Allah has given them, and that is ni'mah. And they change it. They change their appearance. And then we get to see also certain other things people may not be pleased with, and they happen not to be grateful to Allah because to them those are not ni'mah. So my understanding of the term ni'mah is that it applies to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the human being for their benefit. Whatever benefits you is a ni'mah, whether you like it or not. That is one of the things I got to talk about. We go to look into Surah An-Nahl, if I'm not mistaken, and we saw some of the verses, ayat, talking about ni'mah. In fact, Surah An-Nahl, right from the beginning, almost to the end, speaks about the ni'mah Allah has given to the human being. The verses we read are just a very few of the verses talking about that. If you continue reading, you're going to find so many other verses in which Allah has stated different kinds of ni'mah he has given to the human being. And therefore, it is an obligation upon every human being to be grateful to Allah, one or the other. Having said whatever we say, I think we need to proceed from where we stop. And today, inshallah, my discussion is going to be concerning a lot of things. Firstly, one of the sisters got to ask me, and she's not yet here, what is the difference between hamd and shukur? Hamdulillah. We always say Alhamdulillah, and actually this is the first verse we read when we are performing our prayer. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the ulama have differentiated between hamd and shukur. And they say that the word hamd actually is general, and this is very, very specific. So the two shouldn't be confused, according to the explanation of the ulama given. These are the majority of the ulama say that alhamdu yakunu ala ni'ma wa ala sifat wa afal. The hamdu is used to refer to the ni'ma Allah has given you. It is also used to refer to the sifat, and it is also used to refer to the af'al. Af'al are the deeds. Sifa are the attributes. And then ni'mah are the blessings. Whatever is a blessing, you may say Alhamdulillah to that blessing. But also, what is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something that is an attribute which you possess, you should also say Alhamdulillah. When it comes to the eyes, it is an attribute. You are able to see. So you need to praise Allah for that. Indeed, praising Allah for this, you are praising His power. Why? Because when you go through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are going to see that Allah is showing you His power. Right from the first name to the end, all shows His power. He is the Al-Malik, the King. He is the Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, so that there is nobody who can be as merciful as Him. And He is the one, Al-Hayyu, the living, so He does not die. Al-Mumit, the one who brings death, and nobody can bring it. Al-Muhyi, the one who brings life when somebody has died, or brings about life from a state of not being you know, there is no life, but he brings life out of it. So those all are his preferred attributes, and he's praised for that. Much of our ibadah is actually to praise Allah. We praise him while we are on the bed. We praise him while we are standing. We praise him while we are walking, because so many things we get to see. I mean, the Quran is instructing all the believers to travel in the land and see what he has created. When you see, then you will be able to praise him for that power. And this is not shukr, according to these ulama. It may be in the af'al. Hamdu is in af'al, things that happen, which we see, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about, the rain, death, and other things. Those are considered to be af'al. Certain sifat may not be af'al, like knowledge. The knowledge of Allah, you praise him for that knowledge, because the knowledge which covers everything is not a thing, but the thing is that things that we get to see. And he says, "Amma shukru fala yakunu illa ala ni'ma, falhamdu amu min ash-shukr iz la yuqalu shakartuhu ala ilmihi." They say, you cannot say, "I thank you Allah for his knowledge, the knowledge which he has." That you don't do. But you may thank Allah for the knowledge he has given you. His knowledge, you don't need to thank him for that, but you praise him for the knowledge he has. That is the first thing I need to point out, which we did say, mention last week, but I did not go into the details. Surah Ibrahim, ayah number 24. We did say this ayah, number 24, in Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. The ni'mah Allah has created for the human cannot be enumerated. You cannot sit down and count all of them and reach the end. Based on this verse, we shall get to divide the ni'mah, types of the ni'mah, into two. The ni'mah ad-dunyawi, ni'mah dunyawi, the ni'mah which is confined to this world, which we enjoy here. I mean, we do enjoy it, but this is ending. These all are ending. A ni'mah or a ni'am dunyawi, the end. When somebody dies, all those things have ended which Allah has given him, even sometimes before he dies, those may end. But then, a ni'am al-ukhrawi. Ukhrawi, these are the ones which will be given on the day of judgment. These are never ending. Never ending. There is no time that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to the believers on the day of judgment that they will never end, they will ever end. They will always be there. Because why? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses words like abadan when he speaks about paradise, and he says khalidina fiha abada, they will reside in paradise forever. And then he says wani'am muqim, uses the word muqim, and you know what is the meaning of muqim. Muqim is translated as resident, and muqim as a term actually applies to somebody who is stationed in that place, is not traveling, that is going to move from here and then go to another place. We call him muqim, is resident. So ni'am muqim, these are the ni'am which will never end, but they will always be there. Those are the blessings on the day of judgment which will be given to the believers. So many verses have come in the Quran speaking about those types of the ni'mah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated here. And I'm not going to go through those verses because there are so many, and they are stated in different ways, but conveying the same meaning, that the ni'am of the akhirah are always the best. They are always the best. They are better than the ni'am which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give in the dunya. But one thing that we have to remember is that the ni'am on the day of judgment will only be confined to the believers in Allah. These believers won't get anything on that day. Imam Muslim has reported a hadith in which he said that a disbeliever in Allah who happens to be very good in the dunya is very kind, is very generous, he does help everybody. This particular person who is a disbeliever in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will still give him the ni'am, blessing for what he's doing. He's rewarding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he says in the Quran, لا يظلم مثقال ذرة, he does not do injustice to anybody. even if what you have done is just as small as an atom. Very, very small, he will still give it to you. You are a believer or a disbeliever in him. People never recognize him that is living. I mean, he's there, yet he does reward them for the good they do in the dunya. But that reward is given here, not in Akhirah for the disbelievers. Allah may improve on their life. They will enjoy their life and they will be very happy. But after they die, then everything is over. They don't die before Allah rewards them, because on the Day of Judgment, they will not have the faith that, oh Allah, I did this, but you didn't reward me. Because if you are to be rewarded on the Day of Judgment, it means you are not going to be punished. You will be in paradise, because the ni'am, which is ukhrawi, as we said, they are never ending. You cannot enjoy it for a short time and then it is over. So those who did the good, but they never believed in Allah, so they never qualified to enter paradise, their ni'am are given in the dunya. And when they die, everything is over. So they don't have anything to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Day of Judgment. The ni'am of the believers, which they enjoy in the dunya, they are not due only to what they have done. It's not a reward for the good deeds you are doing, but it's a mercy from Allah. If you are a very good Muslim performing the salahs on time, being very good to everybody, and you enjoy a good life, that one doesn't mean that the other is rewarding you for the good you've done, so that you don't have any reward. That is rahmah shown to you, and is not the reward. Because the reward will be on the Day of Judgment, and the reward will not be ending, according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Holy Quran. From here, I need to point out a very important point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word shukur in the Quran, apart from referring to the name in the dunya as well as in Akhirah. He uses the word shukur to refer to himself as well as to the ibad. Shukur is used in reference to Allah, reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is also used in reference to the human beings. So these are the two ways you find the word shukr used in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself in the Quran shakirun. He is shakir. Shakir or shakur. These are two attributes of Allah. Shakirun is the one who appreciates what you do. Shakurun, he does appreciate beyond your imagination. What he gives is something beyond your imagination. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always appreciates. There is no time that he does not appreciate what you are doing. Why? Surah Fatir, verse number 34. Fatir. 34. That is one of them. And then we have Al-Insan 22. Al-Insan 22. Then we do have Al-Baqarah 185. Surah Al-Fatir, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Wajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الله سبحانه وتعالى says in سورة الفاتر 34 إن ربنا لغفور شكور surely our Lord he is forgiving شكور showing gratitude for whatever you do. He is forgiving and is showing gratitude. What does it mean? Why is he using the two attributes here, forgiving and showing gratitude? Indeed, even forgiving, you may say it is gratitude shown to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because to be forgiven is a blessing. And if you are forgiven, you are going to be blessed on the Day of Judgment. You will be blessed in paradise. But the thing here is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that when you commit something wrong and you do tawbah, he will forgive you. But at the same time, he's going to appreciate the amal that you do. Remember, when we spoke about the conditions for the acceptance of tawbah, or what we call a tawbah al-nasuh, the tawbah which is called al-nasuh is the tawbah after which you increase the amal as-salih as a kind of regret for what you have missed, for what you've done, to show to Allah that you're concerned about what you did and that you're sincerely seeking His forgiveness. And He has stated that in many verses of the Quran. So, when you do amal, So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate whatever you do in an amal salih. Let's say you've increased your amal. That one does not mean that He's going to take that amal to replace, of course, what you've done in the wrong things, among the wrong things you've been committing. But it's forgiving. After forgiving you, whatever you do is going to record it to be rewarded for on the day of judgment. That is why He calls Himself Shakurun, at the same time is Zakur. In Al-Baqarah chapter 2, 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. وَمَنْ تَتَوَّأَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Whoever happens to give something which is good. Tatawwu is when you give extra. Let's say you are supposed to give zakah. But then after you've given zakah, it is not an obligation upon you to give the money to the Islamic State, whatever. But then you say that, I think I should give more than what is required. That is tatawwu, when you give more than what is required. You perform the 5 prayers a day. After the 5 prayers a day, you add the sunnah prayer, nawafil. Because it is not an obligation that you do perform nawafil. Just as we see, this young sahaba who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and did ask him, Ya Rasulallah, if I happen to perform the 5 prayers a day, he was asking Rasulullah what he should do actually. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him the salah, zakah, fasting and hajj. And then he did ask Rasulullah, is there anything I have to do besides the salah, the 5 prayers? He said no. Illa an tatawwa, unless you perform extra, which is nawafil. Is there anything I should do apart from fasting the month of Ramadan? He said no. Illa an tatawwa, unless you offer extra things. Is there anything I should do besides the hajj, whatever thing? After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling him about the zakah in particular, there is nothing unless you give tatawwu. And he said, Wallah, I will not add to that. I'm not going to add to the 5 prayers. I will only perfect my 5 prayers. I won't be concerned about this. He knew his weakness. He knew his weakness that if he's to be concerned about all these things, he's not going to be able to perfect them. So he concentrated on the 5 prayers, concentrated on the month of Ramadan and the zakah. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, Wallah, if what that person has said is true, aflaha, he's going to enjoy life. He's going to enjoy life. Happiness is to him. So that is regarding the things that we have to do besides the nawafil. If you do the nawafil, you are doing extra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in this particular verse, specifically referring to the tatawwu, things that you add to the obligatory act. And he said that وَمَنْ تَتَوَّى خَيْرًا, whoever happens to do something good beside the wajibat, the obligation, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ, Allah is always grateful to that. Alim, he knows. Why? Somebody may be worried. Yes, Allah is grateful, but does he know what I'm doing? He is telling you that he knows whatever you are doing. You don't need to show to anybody. He still knows it. Even if you had it in your heart, he still knows it and is going to reward you for that. And in Psalm 22, he says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَكَانَ سَعْيُكُمْ مَشْكُورًا. If you get to read, going through these verses before 22 in Surah Al-Insan, you are going to find that let us just have a look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated before that in Al-Insan.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken about the reward which will be given to those who have done the good. He has described the Jannah paradise, and the verses regarding the description begin from ayah number 12. وَجَزَاهُمْ بِمَا صَبَرُوا جَنَّةً وَحْرِيرًا. He is saying that the reward for that, the reward for their patience, is paradise, waharira, and the clothes which are made from silk. Why patience? Because if you do remember, I said patience is required in three things. Patience is required in carrying out the wajibat, the obligations, without which you will not be able to carry out the obligations. They require so much patience. Like first thing, you feel you are suffering, I mean, but you continue doing it and you never break. The same with the salah. You started the salah, you have to concentrate on it, and then there are certain other disturbances. You have to be very patient to do it in the right way. And then patience is also required in avoiding the haram. Just to remind you about what we say, in avoiding the haram, you need patience. If you're not patient, you'll always commit the haram. Only those who are patient, they will be avoiding it. Patience is required to encounter the musibah, the fitna, which Allah continuously brings to the people. You need patience to go through the musibah and the fitna. So, because patience is a necessary condition for whatever I've mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the reward for patience is Jannah, paradise, wa harira. Muttaqina fiha lal ara'ik la yarawna fiha shamsan wa la zamharira. You can see the meaning that is describing a paradise where there will be no sun, that somebody suffers from the heat of the sun, but they are going to be under the shade and will be lying on the beds enjoying themselves. Wadaniyatana alayhim zulaluha wa zullilat qutufuha tazlila. He is also referring to the same, the shade which will be provided for them. And in the end, you may get to see all those descriptions and the rivers Allah has called Salsabil and other things. Those who will be serving them in the paradise, they will be having people serving them who are created, and they are in paradise, they have never been here. So all those things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end, inna hadha kana lakum jaza, oh, this is the reward for what you did, of course. Wa kana sa'yukum mashkura, and your sigh, the word sigh is, what is the translation there, the best translation? Sa'i is when you move towards. You move towards something, it's called sa'i. Wa kana sa'yukum mashkura, you're moving towards what has been ordained, has been rewarded for. You performed the salah, you performed all those things, you fulfill them, Allah has rewarded you. So, still, it shows us that Allah is always rewarding. There's no something that you do and Allah does not reward you. Now, so many other verses have also spoken about that fact that Allah is rewarding. How about the gratitude from the human beings? So many verses again came on number 2. When the ibad servants show gratitude to Allah. Those verses, some of them I read last week, but I'll be reading only a few of them today. Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, 172. 172 Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. قلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون. He says, enjoy the طيبات, the good things that Allah has created. طيبات, those are the things which are good for your body. They are good for you, excluding the haram. The haram is not halal and tayyibah. Those which are halal and good in themselves. Marazaknakum, what we have given you, because whatever you enjoy in the life has been given from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you've not been working for it. Washkuru lillah, but he says at the same time, when you are enjoying these ni'mah, the reward, whatever blessings Allah has given you, washkuru lillah. And be grateful to Allah, show gratitude to Him for whatever you happen to enjoy. Never forget Him, because there is nothing you can ever enjoy without Allah's presence.
His presence is felt at every moment you enjoy any of the ni'ams He has given. He does not just leave you, He has created the ni'ams. They are already there. You are born into this life and everything is already there. Things do not come into life after you come down. Even Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He created him, Allah created this world, a place where Adam was supposed to be. He created everything for him, so that when Adam comes down here, he's not going to suffer. He will find everything already created by Allah. So He puts him in the paradise as a transit. And as I say, that was to teach him something very, very important. The reason why Allah put him in paradise is to show to him that always where there is the ni'am of Allah is lived will be there. To make you ungrateful. To make you disgraceful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that you don't show gratitude to him. And that happened that Adam alayhi salam, he was tempted by Iblis and he happened to be removed from that place. That was not because of what he did, but it was because it was a plan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gets to be taught about Iblis, the greatest enemy. And Iblis has vowed in the Quran, and he has told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is going to mislead the human beings so that they will not be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what he has given them. Those verses, inshallah, we are going to see which refer to that. Now, after looking into that verse, we go to the next verse, which is actually, have we completed that? Not yet. In kuntum iyyahu ta'budun, if you indeed do ibadah to Allah. This is the condition, something placed at the end, that when you enjoy the ta'ibad, the good things that Allah has created for you, always be grateful to Him if you are doing ibadah to Him. Meaning, according to this ayah, if you are not grateful to Allah, you are not doing ibadah. So, as if ibadah, the aim of ibadah is to show gratitude to Allah. Whatever ibadah that you do, salah, zakah, and others, those are some kind of forms of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you're not the only one. There are so many others which you may do to show gratitude to Him. That is why the word ibadah is not confined to one thing. It covers a lot of things. Whatever you do to get Allah's love and pleasure, because you are thankful to Him for what He has given you. Az-Zumar 66. Zumar 66. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bali illaha fa'abudu wa kum min ash-shakirin. He says, but worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah whom you should perform ibadah to. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to whom you should perform ibadah. Wa kum min ash-shakirin, and always be among those who are grateful. Be among those who are grateful. He's telling you two things here. Do ibadah to Allah and always be among those who are grateful. Those who are grateful, they will engage so much in ibadah. Not only the salat, but they will offer more than the five prayers as a kind of appreciation to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them.